Good morning, and God's peace. I see a couple strange voices as well, that too, and faces. Welcome down here. Before I get started on that, I woke up this morning with a song that kept running over and over and over through my head. And the title of that song is I Need Thee Every Hour. And how appropriate it is, especially in these days where things just seem to be upside down and just in chaos. But the first line on that song, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like mine, like thine, can peace afford. What does that mean? I said, well, I'll Google it. Google always has the answers. We'll go there and we'll figure it out. They really didn't have an answer. But one of the things that made me start thinking, and one of the things that they said, was that no tender voice like thine can peace afford. Well, indeed, God's voice, Jesus' voice, certainly isn't harsh. And when he calls one to repentance, it's not with thunder and lightning, but it is with tenderness, and it is softness, and it is love. And justifiably so, because what gets our attention more? We go up to somebody with our fists clenched, wanting to talk to them and accuse them of something they've done wrong or the life that they're living. Well, their first response is going to be defense, because they're going to want to defend themselves. But when Christ calls, or when the Holy Spirit calls a sinner, when a Holy Spirit calls a Christian, a believer, because we are just as likely and just as, I'm trying to think of the right word, we need to be called as much as anybody, because our life is not going to be perfect. Our life is not going to be all roses and sunshine. There are going to be times when we are going to be tempted. I was thinking this last week about Adam and Eve. You know, we've heard many, many times that Adam is the father of sin, and that the world is sinful because of what he did. So often the world will say that the devil made Adam do it, or Eve partake of the fruit. But no, that's not true. Satan tempted Adam and Eve the same way he tempts us. Not any different. Not at all different. But you see, what happened is that a choice was made. In Eve's case, she chose to partake of the fruit. In Adam's case, he chose to do what Eve requested him to do because of the, I don't know if I could call it arguments or whatever the case, whatever term you want to put on it. But yet he chose to do so. And it's the same in our life. When we are tempted to do something wrong and fall into that temptation, the devil didn't make me do it. I chose to. I chose to fall into that, whether it's through a sign of weakness or ignorance or whatever the case may be. You can put anything, any kind of a name you want on it. But the point is, at the end, it's your choice. And that's why we have to trust in Christ so much. Because we are sin. We are flesh. And the decisions that we make are a reflection on what we believe. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. There's nothing that can compare to that tender voice of Christ. There's nothing that can compare to that tender voice of the Holy Spirit calling, whether it be to a sinner or whether it be to a believer, reminding them of the sin that they did take, and affording to them, giving to them, reminding them that there is salvation. Now, I realize and I understand that we will sin every day. Scripture tells us that. And that's why Christ died for us. But there are times where the Holy Spirit will come and say, boy, that needs to be taken care of. Is it easy? No. No, it's not easy. Never was, never will be. Because in repentance, it's admitting that you were wrong. And I don't know about you folks, but to admit that I'm wrong isn't always the easiest road to go down. But yet God loves me that much that he affords me that luxury, and it is a luxury. He affords me that luxury that I can repent and that I can hear it forgiven and that I can know that indeed my blessed home is up in heaven, which is another song. We do need him every hour. This song, or actually it started out as a poem. It was Annie Hawks is the one that actually penned it. It was put into song, or put into music after that. But I looked her up, and she said one day she was at home taking care of the kids and doing her household duties, whatever they happened to be at the time. And she got this overwhelming feeling of just how precious Christ is. And with that feeling also came the understanding that we need him every hour. So that was some of the things that I woke up with this morning. And I recognize that I do need him every hour of every day, and pray that he would always walk beside me, and that I would one day be with him. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the 17th chapter of Luke. And beginning with verse 11 and reading through verse 19. That's Luke chapter 17 and beginning with verse 11 and reading the words in Jesus' name. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Father, they are your words of grace. They are your words of comfort. Father, we pray this morning that we would always look to them as such. When times are hard and we begin to struggle, or there's something that confronts us, we pray, Father, that we would have the strength, that we would always have the encouragement to turn into your word, and that we would be able to acknowledge that indeed you are the giver of all things. Father, we pray this morning that those words that are spoken are your words, and that you would give to us an understanding and a feeling that as we leave here, we could feast on them. So, Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Jesus was on his way back to Jerusalem. At another another chapter or another gospel, Matthew, he was going back, and his disciples actually were trying to persuade him not to, because they knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. They knew that the powers that be, Pharisees and those who were in charge, wanted to capture him and kill him. They didn't want that to happen. But Jesus knew it was going to happen. I heard somebody say that his face was as flint. It had a very determined look on his face, that it was time. It was time for that end to come. Now imagine, if you will, and I also read something this week about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and how he prayed that God would take that cup from him. He understood, even as we are reading this text, what was ahead of him. He understood what he was going to have to do and what was going to happen to him. See, first off, we've got to understand that Jesus was true man, but he was also true God. So he knew exactly what was going to happen. And as in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that God could take that cup from him so that he wouldn't have to go through it. And yet his words were, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He had that conflict. He had the conflict going on within himself of what he was going to have to go through. He had that conflict going on, afraid of the pain, the agony, and indeed the humility, because being hung on a cross outside of the city is the pinnacle of shame. Anybody that had to die because of that. He knew that was going to happen. And yet he continued on knowing that that was his path, knowing that was the way that God wanted him to go. So he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. We can read in Leviticus 13 and 14, it talks about the rules that those who had leprosy, how they were supposed to conduct themselves. They lifted up their voices and said, "Master, have mercy on us." To me, this is an indication of just how far Jesus' reputation had spread. Because even these lepers understood who he was and understood that he had powers to heal. So often, when someone speaks about lepers, they tie it in with sin. They tie it in with when the scripture speaks about lepers, it's because of the sinfulness of mankind. I'm not going to deny that nor argue about it. But in this particular case, it wasn't about sin. It was about grace. It was about God's grace. And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. In the book of Matthew, or the Gospel of Matthew, I should say, the 8th verse, or the 8th chapter, and I believe it was the 4th verse. Let's start with verse 2 through verse 4. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." That's significant, because leprosy is a very contagious disease. It's something that, if you are around it, it's a good possibility you'll catch it or get it. And he touched him. And he says, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no man, but go thy way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for for a testimony unto them. This was only one. In this case here, we're talking about 10. Another interesting point in this 14th verse, we read that when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't go to the priest or have any type of a ceremony, I guess, if you will, or a cleansing or a washing or anything. It's just as they were going to the priest, they were healed. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying and glorified God. I can imagine he would, because leprosy was not something that one could be healed from, especially in those days and age, that day and age. Maybe it is so today. I don't know. You'd have to talk to somebody medical about that. But the point is that it was basically a death sentence. It was basically something that I've got leprosy, I'm going to die. And you separated yourself from mankind. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I think I probably would have done the same thing. Because it was only God that was able to do it. It was only God that was able to even to heal a lot of diseases that happened in those days. And we know down through scripture, it talks about a lot that of all the people that Jesus saved. And it was all miraculous. There's no other explanation for it. But because of God's love towards mankind, he got their attention. And then he fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, we could go on in a long dissertation about being a Samaritan and how the Jews didn't get along. But I really believe that by pointing out specifically that he was a Samaritan, it was a message to those who he was talking to, that there is no person better than another. There is no nationality better than another. Those who are believe, or those who have come into faith, are all the same. There is no difference. And Jesus answering and said, "Weren't there 10 that were cleansed? Where are the rest of them? Where's nine? Where's the other 9? Where'd they go?" Do you think there was a mystery to him? Nah, he knew where they were. He knew that they had walked off. And they were just excited and happy that they were cleansed. But the message that was given to that Samaritan. There were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. Someone who nobody knew. Now here's the part, this last verse. As I said, so often when it's talked about leprosy, it's talking about the sinfulness of mankind. That's a given. We know that. But here's the important part. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole. Nothing else. Nothing, no other reason, no other indication, no other anything. Thy faith has made you whole. And that's the same thing that makes us whole today. Is the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. The faith that we have in his saving power because of what he did on the cross for us. That is how we are made whole. In no other way. In no other fashion. There's nothing else that we can cling to save that faith. And it is because of that faith that one day we will enter in through heaven's gates. And we will sit on the right hand of Christ, praising and glorifying God for what he has done for us and for the salvation that he extended to us free of charge. No other reason. No payment. Nothing that had to be done save believe. In Jesus' name, amen.